Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
Welcome to episode 203 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex, and you all are with me today. I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Nydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zolf Smith.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan.
Sel Sidebottom with a headache.
And Azu.
And you did manage to put my lovely baby in a box, but fair play. You are in a large, now apparently entirely dead chamber, full of giant plant, electrical and magical equipment, beneath the base of the industry, beneath the base of the city, beneath the base of Svalbard, alone in the... Well, I was going to say dark. It's quite brightly lit, actually, but you get the sentiment. And you have just seemingly conquered something with a thing. I will pick up exactly where we left off.
Right.
I think this is what we need.
Great. We all alive?
Yes.
Just about.
Oh. Are you all right? It hit me with something. I don't know if. Sel. Oh.
Gonna run over.
To
Sel, yeah, and do a heal check to see what's wrong with them.
Yeah. Azu's also gonna run over.
It's just words. When they do the thing.
What's the heal check?
24.
Yeah, with a 24, anyone who's been hit by this thing needs a restoration. There is nothing mundane that you can do about it. It is literally a malady of the spirit.
Mm. All right, Sel, it did something to your spirit, to yourself. I can definitely do something. Azu, you can use restoration, right?
No, I can't do it yet.
All right.
Maybe...
No problem. No, it's fine. I can do a bunch. Has anybody else been got by that thing in the same way?
Yes.
Yes, I think so.
Right, okay.
We'll just get out. We can...
Yeah, fine.
We can sort it later.
Yeah, I can't do it now. I have to meditate, and I can't do that for a while.
Okay.
So we just need to... All sorry, right. Sel. Are you just going to have to put up with it for a bit longer?
I mean, as I said, I think playing Charisma 3, I'm rolling with it as if I have my general migraine with aura thing.
It scans really well.
So they will be like struggling with words, but there's quite a lot of the gesturing that's kind of hard to get. So they'll be trying to tell you to calm down with slightly flappy hands and then massaging their forehead a bit, but still trying to push you out of the way and then looking at the machine. Like, it's just, what is that? Like, you know, not physically injured, but words are not working.
Yeah. All right. I think our priority is now to leave.
Yeah. So Hamid, you said we've got what we... That's the kill switch, right?
Yes. It designed probably as a power source and also a severing of planar connections, I think.
Right. Sel, just in case, second opinion.
Okay, yeah.
Give me whatever knowledge you think is applicable.
Arcana, I'd do. And they rolled a 38.
You guys are just brutal.
Outstanding.
Well, they got a 19 bonus on Arcana, so...
That was more than Hamid's roll, right?
Yeah. Hamid rolled a 36. I also rolled a 19, but Sel's bonus is 2 points higher than mine.
That is their highest
So
skill.
You can confirm everything that Hamid said, combined with... You recognise it has broadcast elements similar to what Shoin was playing around with. Not much, but a little bit, which would make sense. And given your understanding of the machine that is the one that got away, it should work. It just turns out that it's not going to be emitting a radio wave or something. It's literally going to be... It's almost closer to, for any of you Star Trek nerds out there, it's almost closer to a subspace signal.
Sure.
It's going to be sending out via planar interactions this signal, whatever it is.
So, yeah, Cell looks at it intensely, turns it over slightly. The bit where there's a socket that might look as if it would connect straight up to Tesla's thing.
Yeah, that'd be there.
Points at that, looks at Hamid, and the thumbs up, as if assuming that you'll know that, like...
Yes, I think I agree.
All right, great, good stuff. Yeah, Azu's right. Let's get out. Should we take the other way, try and avoid that fossil thing?
Yes. Right. I don't want to even think about that thing ever again.
Let's go. We've got away with this so far, but you know, our luck's going to run out, so let's get moving.
All right.
Cell's mostly communicating just with thumbs up and occasionally massaging their forehead, but it's the fact that they've like canonically and mechanically got claws.
Oh yeah.
So there's this like massive thumbs up, serious nod, but like claws everywhere. It's cool.
Azu is going to like have like a hand on Cell's, like the small of Cell's back, like to just like sort of be comforting, do a little...
No. I'm like,
oh, takes hand away.
It's
all right.
That's fine.
Let's go.
We'll go. We'll just go. It's fine.
Oh, yes.
So, heading up the stairs on the other side.
Yeah.
For the sake of the map, I will reveal it. It's a carbon copy of the other side because of the way the map is drawn. Heading up those stairs in a similar route, you keep going for a little while. It starts to curve around this large chamber. So it's sort of curving round to the left at a very gradual rotation.
Oh, dear.
And you find yourself facing a sort of wrought mithril gate that is left ajar. Actually, yeah, we've established before that you have enough understanding for the Svalbardian runes to make out runic script, don't you, Zolf?
I read Dwarvish, so any dialectical differences maybe, but...
Yeah. It's not a direct translation or anything like that, but effectively... You're able to make out it's saying something equivalent to forbidden.
Great signs.
It doesn't translate exactly. It's something like forbidden for the eyes of the council alone or something like that.
Right. Looks like this is sort of a council only area. Oh, I don't know if it's a way out, but we should maybe look. They were mucking around with some stuff that got them all killed. So we should, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you head past the wrought mithril gate then?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Understood. So, heading along there, it starts looking a lot less posh. I don't mean it starts looking mucky, it just starts looking a lot more security focused and a lot less council chamber focused. There is still a red carpet, but you can see further along that maybe it carries along straight, takes another slight curve till eventually you're on the far side of this chamber. You see what I mean? So you've looped all the way around behind it.
Yeah.
At which point you are facing another gate that is left ajar, a long straight corridor, 10 feet wide, 10 feet high, that is covered in, it looks like steel plating or similar on the floor, wall, ceiling and everything. And at the very, very far end is what looks like a vault door that is still sealed, and there is a body at the base of it.
dwarven?
That appears to be dwarven and appears to be a corpse that has not been zombified or anything like that. It's not moving, nothing like that. It's not turned into a plant. It appears to be an actual just desiccated corpse that is at the foot of this vault door.
Should we... Well, I suppose the only thing we can do is go in there.
Hang on. So this is going to be the Svalbard Seed Vault, right?
Oh.
So if we open this, we might expose it to stuff. Right now, it looks like the vault is closed. So it might be better if we leave it that way. They can come back.
It's a big door, to be clear. You're talking, you know, like old school, like bank vaults.
Yeah.
Silly big. That's what we're going for. And it appears to be made, to the eyes of people here, of a combination of adamantine and mithril, the door.
What's the corpse doing? Is it like, oh, get there? Or, you know, is it like defending?
Give me a perception check.
Yeah, can we like search the corpse for additional clues potentially?
I'm assuming that you are at the gate. If you want to head up to it, that's fine. Let me know.
Yeah, I mean, probably carefully go up to it. It makes more sense. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Can I get marching orders, please?
Oh, dear.
Azu is going to be next to Sel.
Sel's next to Zolf.
Basically, I need to know who's at the front. That's all I need to know.
Yeah, Zolf would probably be quite personally invested in this, so is, like, quite keen, but won't be, like, pushing people out of the way.
Yeah, I guess Skrark is taking on the scouting role and maybe even be checking for traps as we go.
That's true. Skrark has been doing this the entire time. So
yeah, no, it would be Skrark. That makes sense. Okay, in which case, then, what is Skrark's combat maneuver defense?
Not very good. 17...
What equipment is Skrark wearing?
Magical or mundane, or both?
Metallic.
Breastplate, ring, amulet, tail weapon, other weapons.
Okay, that's fine. So Skrark starts heading out into the steel section of the corridor, and then for no reason seemingly at all just goes... and then is just dragged completely flat prone, pinned to the floor.
Pinned by anything or just...
Nothing there. Nothing's changed.
Magnets.
Skrark, are you okay?
How do they work?
Sel will try and begin to explain.
It doesn't hurt. I can't really...
Right.
This is embarrassing. It's not really a trap. I just... help.
Pretty trapped.
Hammer, do you...
As it might take some strength to help him, but with metal, the same thing will happen to you.
Sel starts taking their goggles off and their mithril shirt in order to.
It's all right, Skrark. We'll come and get you. Just we're quite a.
I'll
metallic.
Be honest. It's mostly embarrassing.
We will never speak of it again. Then
good.
Can I cast Detect Magic?
Yeah, you can cast Detect Magic.
Is this a magical thing or is it a mundane thing?
Nope.
Yeah, purely mundane.
Nothing magical at all.
Literally magnets.
You know what's good about a mundane thing? You can't dispel it.
Yeah.
I think all Sel needs to take off is their mithril shirt, and then they will go over and start undoing leather straps.
To skip to the end, I'm assuming Sel is losing all metallic items.
Mm.
Yeah, that's fine. Sel can just walk up carefully, and they are fine, utterly unaffected.
Does Skrark have, like, leather straps keeping him in?
Yeah, it'd take a little work of, like, unbuckling and so on, but the issue is Skrark can move his arms, but, like, his tail's pinned, and because of the awkward angles and so on, can't really get to bits, like, all mobility's done. It's very easy for you to start unbuckling stuff, and, yeah, Skrark is able to extricate himself, but anything metallic is pinned to that floor, just absolutely pinned. I could get you to try and move it if you want. Skrark's already like bracing feet against it, and nothing at all. But Skrark's not the strongest. To be clear, it includes the stalking dagger because that's metallic.
Ooh,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I have rope. If I throw the rope to you and you tie it around the things, I can pull it.
Actually, one sec. Skrark starts basically very carefully going towards the vault door. Nothing else seems to happen. Starts examining the corpse a little while. Got a key.
Oh.
Right. Right, you can't bring that back, though.
Oh, it's made of stone.
Oh, bring it back.
Yeah, right. Scott kind of starts coming back. I think they were trying to get inside, maybe to hide or something.
Right.
But yeah, the equipment. Let me know what the plan is. I'm not going to require rolls left, right and centre because we'll be here all day. I just want to know what it is that the plan is.
Right. To my eye, it looks like they ain't got in there. And yeah, they were trying to escape from something and they got. We've got the key. We are probably the safest place for it, unless we just leave it here. So I guess the question is, do we take the key or don't we? This might be pretty important if we want to, like, they are, this vault is in case of apocalypse, right? And
yes,
you know, we that happened, so well, at least for us,
leave it, we can
come back later.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I guess we could lose it.
Keep no, like,
I'll keep the key, but leave it here.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Leave the door
closed.
Yeah. Sorry.
Fine.
Ah.
Yeah. We take the key and we leave.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's do that.
Azu, can you help me with my
Yeah. Yep. Scrooge, can you give me the key? I'll keep it safe.
Oh. Yeah. All right. The key is ludicrously complex. It's built on three dimensions, to be clear. This isn't a slot in. It's like, it's more like a have you ever seen like
puzzle?
The kind of hard to see, like a puzzle box, yeah, like a stone puzzle box, that kind of thing. It's built a lot more like that. It's very intricate. It looks quite delicate, but then again, you don't actually know. You might. What knowledge do you have relative to stonework, since you're the one looking at it?
I don't.
Then in that case, yeah, it feels denser than it probably should. But it is rock. It's not metallic in any way.
That goes in the bag of holding, and the bag of holding goes like tucked underneath my breastplate. Like I move it so that it can't.
Yeah. That basically all I'm getting at is you don't want to just be like strapping that to the outside of your backpack.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's fine. At which point, then, for the sake of speed, I'm going to say that you're able to slowly drag these items across. It requires Azu's strength.
Yep.
It is, for the sake of everyone here, a ludicrously strong sort of magnetic thing. But it is physically possible pretty much only because Azu's there to take it.
Do you want me to do a roll? Am I just that good?
It's a question of time. You take 10.
Lovely.
You're that good, you take 10.
Thank you very much.
So yeah, Scrog's able to re-equip. Looks a little bit sheepish. But not too bad.
So Sel's going to put their mithril shirt and ring and goggles back on, obviously.
Unlikely to be a way out that way, then, if that's the vault, I guess.
Yep, it's back the way we came, looks like.
Oh,
okay.
Well.
All right.
Okay.
Yay!
Can everyone please give me a perception check?
15.
31.
30 for Hamid and...
Holy...
19
Molly.
Struck.
That's a lot. There's 30s kicking around. I gotta get used to that. All right.
That's okay. I got an 18.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you. So, I'm assuming you start heading back towards the circular stairway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you start heading towards the circular stairway and start heading your way back up.
Mm-hmm.
As you do so, the first thing that happens is Azu and Sel, that weird fatigue that cropped up, not the drain, but that weird kind of like, oh, I just want to sit here and be depressed, whatever you want to call it, seems to start alleviating.
Oh, thank God.
It's hard to tell if it's because you're moving away or if it's just happening anyway, but either way, it does seem to start sort of alleviating slightly. Also, it's worth bearing in mind that the kill switch itself, it doesn't turn off, but it does seem to go from like that hyperactivity that was on earlier to think of it more like an idle state. It has a couple of like dials and tickers on it that are down back into, it's almost got like a Geiger counter vibe. And those seem to be returning to something far more approaching normal, and certainly the more up the stairs you go, the better. However, as you start all moving up the stairs, you do hear the distinct sounds of an
angry fossil,
of a crashy bashy thing.
Yeah
still bashing around up there.
Bony friend.
So heading back up the stairs, nothing else happens, to be honest, but at least that weird fatigue has passed. Obviously, I would say you're going to be drawing near the end of your transformation soon, but you're not there yet, Sel. It's not been that long, but yeah, you make it up to the stairway.
Yeah, if our fight has been 10 minutes down below and it's another 10 minutes up, And we're only halfway through the transformation.
You wasted a bit of time getting Skrark stuff and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I think you might manage to sustain the transformation, don't we?
I think I've got another like half hour left.
Yeah, I think you do too. That's what I'm saying. You're okay.
Let's go.
We're having a conversation. Trying to give you these things and you're all getting up in my grill.
Okay.
Making it back up to that sort of, let's call it power station, whatever you want to call it, where the horde was.
Mm-hmm.
Your fossily friend is occasionally clomping round, but mostly what he seems to be doing is picking up bits of horde and just kind of... He'll pick it up, examine it, and then just crush it into the ground. He seems very occupied with it, but he is directly between you and the exit. And you can see from here the beginning of what seems to be a pile of bodies at the entrance door that is now... It's not torn off its hinges, but it is wide ajar.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It looks like there's a door, a staff door, at the other side of this room. If we can get round that, probably can't fit through it.
Ooh. I mean, could still smash, but...
Do we think being invisible will be effective against this thing?
Yes.
Invisible and flying, yeah. Azu, though, are you... What would you what would you need to get through?
Azu can't clank if Azu's flying.
Yeah, that's true.
Mechanically speaking, in the game, that is not true. You still have to do some movements to fly. It doesn't affect your flavorfully. Sure, it can help, but mechanically speaking, it doesn't.
Mechanically, I would allow it to help a little bit because it bloody should.
Yeah.
To be clear?
No. Kind of what it's going for is the sound of metal on metal. It's not footsteps.
Yeah, your armour is going to be clanking
it's
again.
It's not like Azu's flapping.
Well, the last time Azu attempted to fly, they were flapping. Literally. Because we ruled that was the effect fly skill.
And that is a fair point. And that was a funny bit, so I'm keeping that.
Also, Azu is very bad at flying because fly is a skill.
Hey, fly.
So what
is
I'm hearing
skill.
Is that every one of you think that Skrark's suggestion is rubbish. That's so cruel of you all. God,
that's Drin's suggestion. No, wait, no, Alex's. Who's playing Skrark right now?
It might help a bit, but I mean, previously it hasn't helped that much.
Look, if you make us all invisible, that'll help. If you can't, fine, we'll have to risk it.
I can. Let's. Okay.
I cast invisibility.
Do you have enough spell slots?
I was going to ask, yeah.
I suppose you didn't actually use any.
I haven't used that many spells, weirdly.
None of you really did anything offensive. You just kind of dodged around it until...
I haven't cast an offensive spell in this whole dungeon, more or less.
That's ridiculous.
Weird.
Cell will push you back when you're about to cast on them and then cast their own invisibility.
Sure. Okay, so I need 4 total.
Because also it still gives us a +20 to our stealth check, even if you need clank.
It does.
Absolutely.
So, has everyone been invisibled?
Mm-hmm.
In which case, then, can I get everyone to give me a single stealth check to make it... I'm just confirming you are going through that sort of power station room-esque that used to have the horde, through the door you didn't open, which seemed to have a staff-only marker, but you're not heading back the way that you came in, which is via that big long corridor.
Correct. I think what we'll do is we'll probably hug the eastern wall of this very large round room, because that's the furthest away from the fossil construct, until we hit the southernmost point where this other door is.
I would say just before we leave, Cell is going to cast Targeted Bomb Admixture, which is a first level thing, and Channel Vigor, which with the effect of a haste spell, which is third level.
Someone wants to hit one big thing really hard.
My genuine thought was that if the worst comes to the worst, they can throw five bombs with
good call.
+12 on each round, plus they'll be sticky as well. That's a lot of damage.
While Cell is doing that, so before we're all waiting just outside the room, I'm going to say, just in case it reacts to us opening the door, I'm going to try and open it from here. Because guess what spell is on my spell list, Alex, that I don't think I've ever used before?
This is a long wiggly hand thing. The grabby
Knock.
One.
And Knock has a range of 200 foot.
Wow.
Okay. Now, could you do me a favour and read the spell effect?
You want the full... I've got the... Yeah, I
yes,
keep...
Yes, please. Sure. I know knock very well, but I think for listeners it would help.
Knock opens stuck, barred or locked doors, as well as those subject to hold, portal or arcane lock. When you complete the casting, make a cast level check against the DC of the lock. It says knock opens up to two means of closure. Open secret doors, weld shackles change... The effect is limited by the area.
What I'm getting at is, and this is Alex just trying to, you know, be a little bit generous. In a lot of editions, what knock does is emit a very loud knock noise when it does so as a way of making the spell happen. Is that the case?
There's nothing in here about the sound. I mean, like all, it has a verbal component. Obviously, if you want to rule that it can only be cast loudly, then I won't use it. But I'm not seeing anything in the spell description here.
That's fine. Fabulous. In that case, then, I am in the wrong edition. Hey, yeah, knock it. You knock that door. You knock that door real good.
It means we can also open it while we're not next to it. So if mm-hmm. it does alert and draw the creature over, we're not there.
It's clever.
So I cast knock. If it would have required a roll to unlock the door previously, I have to make a caster level check roll. If it would not have required a roll, if it would just be pushed open, then it just opens.
You cast knock. The second that you do... A couple of things happen very quickly. Two of the dwarven shamblers immediately burst out from their gang. See the big beastie, and then I'm not even going to require initiative. A scuffle begins as big beastie sees them, and little ones are like, a thing. Big beastie's like, a thing. What you have, however, done is triggered a really excellent circumstantial bonus to your sneak. Because you're all invisible.
Yes. Well, that should cover us. Let's
Hang
go.
On. At this stage, let's go through the big door. It's not looking.
Ooh. Yeah.
We know the way back out. Let's go.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
In which case, can everyone please give me a stealth check?
Yeah. So the stealth check comes with plus 20
plus
for invisibility.
Plus 20 from the invisibility spell.
Plus wow. you're getting a circumstance bonus as well.
24.
You're going to have to roll really poor. Oh, you rolled a 4.
No, I rolled a 6 and have a normal minus 2.
Okay, so Skrark just rolled a natural 20. So the pure numerical value of Skrark's spell check, stealth check, is 66.
Good
wow.
grief!
Skrark accidentally arrives back with Wild and Summitnil with no memory of how he got there. 66!
And that's before
God.
Any additional bonuses for the fact it was a natural 20.
What?
God damn! And that's not factoring in the circumstantial either.
Nope. That is the dice roll, his normal stealth modifier, and the effect of invisibility.
Okay,
spell. Okay.
So Skrark just ceases to exist. Keep him coming.
Mm-hmm. Sel got 48.
Yep.
I got 33.
Hammond got 51.
Yep. Wow.
Of course you did.
Fair play.
The plus 20 makes a big difference.
It really does.
Makes a difference of 20, in fact.
You all go straight through whilst this thing slowly turns the two... I say slowly, terrifyingly quickly turns the pair of dwarven zombies into a type of jam.
Disgusting jam.
Horrible. I can reveal the rest of it, which consists of a sea of bodies across the front, the main corridor. This thing has dug its way through. I mean, what you're seeing on the map is less than it could have been. This thing has dug its way through easily 50, maybe 55 of these things.
Wow.
I think you may have accidentally misplaced your Skrark there for a second.
No, that is the stealthiest place to be, and therefore that's where Skrark is.
Oh, I'm just surprised you could still see because of the fog of war.
I can't. That's the point.
Well, either way, you're easily able to make it all the way back. And in terms of the climb down... You all had a rope. So there is a rope if you want to climb out the way you came.
Yep.
Or fly.
Or you can try for the main entrance. But yeah, you are basically picking your way through a sea of bodies as you hear the... as your friend just keeps pumping.
Once we're outside the room, we're going to need to start whispering to each other to keep coordinated because we can't see each other either.
I'm not going to require stealth checks because the thing is pummeling that hard. It's not going to notice anything. You've managed to circumnavigate it.
Up the rope, eh?
One by one. Skrark, you can go first. You should go first. Okay, Sel.
Skrark, Scarp is up. I'm not going to require checks from anyone. I'm happy to have a take 10 on this one.
Oh,
none of you are fatigued. If you had still had that effect kicking around, it'd have been a different matter, but you don't. It's all good. So I'm happy to say that without rushing, you can climb up back out onto the dome of the building. And with that, I am going to take a break because you managed to dodge my big beastie again.
Yay!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. So you find yourself atop the dome in the large sort of forest crater, let's call it. Can everyone please give me a perception check?
25.
27 for Hamid.
17 for Azu.
22 for Sel.
19 for Skrok.
Anyone who beat 25, there are figures moving amongst the forest in the mist. It appears that all of the noise may have drawn a certain amount of attention. There are not a full horde, nothing like that, but there are sort of shambling figures stumbling around in that low-lying fog. And given that the fog is, you know, it's up to their shoulder height, it is, you know, occasionally you'll lose them and so on. But it still looks navigable, to be clear. It's not like you're going to be having to dig your way through people, but it's not the empty meadow that it was on the way in.
Oh, well, let's make good use of this invisibility then.
Yeah.
Yep.
Swells in the fog will give us away slightly, but should be okay still.
These things are idiots. We'll be fine.
I think we'll be all right.
I'm assuming everyone's going to climb down and attempt to just sneak through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there an there's an obvious door we're heading for, right? Because Cell will just fly over.
Yeah, it's the big tourist door.
Yeah. Okay.
If you can fly, you could literally just step off this dome.
Yeah, that's...
Fly like 60 feet in the air across and then just arrive at the door. It's only for people who can't fly that there's a thing.
Yeah, losers, basically.
It'll be hard to coordinate. We'll just... Everyone get to the door and we'll wait till everyone's got there.
Oh, yeah. I'll see you there.
Okay.
Yep.
Right, let's go.
Right, so sticking with all of the bipedal plebs, can I get a stealth check, please, from everyone?
Yeah.
I also, I just realised that, you know, when I said Scrat rolled 66 on his last stealth check, it's actually 68. I forgot the effect of heroism.
So I was giving a flat plus 10 competency bonus by virtue of that causing that distraction, so this is someone who was, you know, pushing 80.
Well, I'm just a bit upset it wasn't a 69 skill check, which is pretty hard to achieve in Pathfinder, but I was so close.
But it is still easier than 420. I've never seen 420 on a skill check, not yet.
So 24 on the stealth.
Nice.
Got a 32. Oh! Assuming we're still invisible.
Yeah.
Hamid rolled a 2. So that's only 42?
God, Brent.
If there's any consolation, you didn't need it. I rolled a 2 for the collective perception check. So, bet you're feeling silly
56
now.
56 for Skrok.
56? Ooh, Skrok might give you away. This is not going how this dungeon was built for. Just FYI, this is not what was built to happen.
Competent party, not triggering all the encounters.
You easily managed to navigate the forest area and make your way through to the tourist entrance. It really is a case of just, there's one. All right, we'll just go around. There's one. Oh, wait. Okay, no, carry on. They don't seem... In fact, give me... Does anyone have, like, knowledge nature or maybe knowledge religion?
So, how's knowledge nature? A lot of it.
Knowledge religion I can roll.
Yeah, I've got knowledge religion too.
Can I get a knowledge nature and a knowledge religion from anyone who can?
Oh, I got an 11, so probably not.
Nothing from you?
Yep.
32.
Yep.
17.
Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're not around to tell people this.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon for creatures like this to have sort of short-term memory problems where they will react to things, but if the source of the thing is taken away, they tend to just sort of forget why they're here and they're just here.
Mm. Oh, like object permanence problems.
Yeah, like object permanence is just not on the cards at all. So as a result, you're kind of taking advantage of the fact that there's a noise happening by the main building.
Mm.
You're not that noise. they're not looking for stuff. They're not trying to figure stuff out. Great. So yeah, you managed to make it back to the tourist entrance quite easily.
Invisibility lasts 10 minutes. So if we're not moving very speedily, we might be running out by about the time we get back to the tourist entrance.
I'm going to say that you can make it to the tourist entrance without it running out, but you're not going to make it beyond the tourist entrance without it running out.
I think that's fair.
Yep.
Right. Keep going, right? Are we all good?
Wait.
To get out of here as soon as possible.
Don't turn on the really fun tourist traps.
Right, yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good shout.
You might have to lead us past them again, Skark.
Yeah. That's fine. I know
where they are.
So Sel is looking at Skark in the kind of like, I know that you're trying to be obvious, but like, don't turn on the tourist traps. Or don't turn on the tourist traps. Because, like, this is a confusing... There's the slightly pained face of like... There's a level of sarcasm or something going on here, and I'm just not processing it.
Skrark looks deeply, deeply forlornly at Sel. Actually, don't set off the tourist traps, literally.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, just my words right now. Ow.
Fine,
you know?
We'll fix it. All right.
Let's go.
Skrark leads away. They're easy to avoid. What I will do, though, is... Skrark passes the will save genuine will save not to succumb to just a little temptation.
Will save versus temptation.
But yeah, he rolled more than high enough. That was quite a low DC. Yeah, you guys managed to navigate through and you've made your way all the way back to the main city.
Yep. Oh, cool.
I mean, we follow the same path back out that we came in by, right?
Yep.
There isn't anything loitering around in there. Everyone give me a perception check, though.
20.
19.
29 for Hamid and 21 for Skrark.
23 for Azu.
Ooh.
One of the few good rolls I've had.
Hamid, you hear... It takes a while. It's very, very quiet. But once you start tuning into it, you hear the sounds of lots of very, very, very quiet movement on all sides.
Uh-oh.
Most likely the padding of the odd little shuffle here, the odd padding. You get the impression with a perception score that high that there's been enough noise and enough clatter that a lot of things are poking around, but you don't. It doesn't have that ambush feel. You're not feeling necessarily surrounded, but you're feeling like the area is very populated.
I think we can't necessarily just breeze back through the same route. I'm hearing lots of things moving around. I think a lot of things may have woken up. Even if they don't know exactly where we are.
Do we just go?
Should we just run, yeah?
Yes! Just dash.
All right.
Out, and Einstein out, and we'll be...
All right, good. Off you all go. Go!
All right.
Are you sprinting straight down the middle past the watchers?
I mean, Cell's flying.
It's also the way to do the run action, so yes. We can finally do the run action.
I mean, if the problem with the Watchers is that they see you and tell other things about you, then I think we can just run past them.
Yeah, because we'll already be, like, gone.
We've done what we were here for.
They'll be like, over here! Oh, no, not over here anymore, whoops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think so.
Fair play. All right. You all just try to book it straight towards the bridge, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so there is a straight run. It is past a bunch of watchers.
Zolf will go last, because Zolf is Zolf and wants to make sure everyone gets out, especially because he suggested it.
Plus, he's got a load of hit points.
I've got so many hit points.
I am going to have to go fully cinematic here. You may have spotted the mechanical flaw with this layout. Yeah, as you charge past that sort of thicket of watchers at the main entrance, the first one... that triggers all the others... You start hearing these cries throughout the city. All of that movement that was sort of quiet before suddenly becomes a directed... Everything starts sweeping in. However, I'm looking at the map and I already can run the numbers. Because you're using the run action, you're going to outrun stuff.
Good.
So to go fully cinematic, you trigger these watchers. The cry gets picked up all around the city. And as you're sort of charging out across the bridge... You see swarming at that main entrance an innumerable number of those sort of dwarven sort of planar zombies with their weird jerky movements. A few of them try to chase you across the bridge, but the majority of them turn up and you're gone before they even get there. So there ends up with this thronging mass of these weird jerking creatures at the main entrance, and of the remainder that sort of try to charge after you, you're leaving them well behind, and by the time they're sort of halfway across, you're already leaving them behind, even with Azu's like limited speed. They have a nasty habit as well of getting in one another's way, where one of them will distract the other one, and then both of them are looking at one another, not at you. Then they're not particularly good at pursuing. By the time you've made it across the other side of the bridge, there is, for the sake of my petulance, one has made it the length of that enormous cavern bridge all the way towards you. I will give whoever is the quickest to say, ooh, me, the chance to just free kill it.
I would like to.
How would you like to? It is an easy task.
I would like to bisect it Bertie style, please.
You know what you can do, because I like you, Helen. You played well, and I think you deserve a reward. There are two, meaning you can do it once and then cleave the second.
I shall do that. I can do one bisected vertically and the other one bisected horizontally. How about that?
That is lovely. As you make it across the bridge, you see a trio of friends.
Yay.
Reappear and sort of poke their head around. Look at the enormous thronging mass. Einstein's immediately, oh! Wow. You're really sneaky. I didn't think you had it in you.
As it says, we did it. Now we have to go.
Yeah, sure. Hold hands and I'm legitimately really impressed. Wild's like, yep, let's leave now, please. Let's leave now, please. That throng, for all of they don't have the object permanence, is starting to migrate out across the bridge just by sheer force of bodies again. It's forming another horde. Do we have what we need?
We do.
Yes.
Show me.
Hammond produces it.
Oh, fantastic. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I'm trying to go. You're the one who can. Like, 3, 2, 1. Congratulations. You have successfully navigated, much to my chagrin, the Dungeon of 1,000 Bosses.
Yay!
I have to say it on audio. Well played. Well played. That was built to be a meat grinder that you would accidentally trigger it and then be punched in the face over and over again. You actually managed a stealth reconnaissance item recovery. I'm so legitimately impressed.
I think we genuinely all could have died. I think we could have TPK'd easily. Yes.
Everyone take a level. Take a level up.
Level.
Fair
Wait,
play.
It's level 11.
Yes.
It's level 11.
Level 11.
That was a good, good play.
I actually do want to say, you're like, oh, you could have died. Cell actually walked out of that dungeon with one more hit point than they went in.
But you could have been the first character to be charismed to death, and that's a personal goal of mine.
Yeah.
No, fair play. Yeah, you can all grab your level. And weirdly enough, that ends sort of the season that would never end.
Yeah.
The reason being, from here, you're just into endgame.
Oh.
We're literally in the end game.
So I think
now.
we're gonna take a little bit of a break from our standard story content for a bit, I think, but
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna release that metacast after this episode.
I think awesome. So. So awesome. With that in mind, congratulations on completing the Dungeon of 1,000 Bosses and the season that would never end.
So does this mean it's gonna be season 5 next time?
No, of course not. There's only 4 seasons of Rustical Gaming. I've told you this before. What you have next is you have your endgame. Endgame isn't a season. That'd be madness. That'd be crazy. What are you talking about? 5 seasons. Nothing has 5 seasons.
6 seasons and a movie. 6 seasons and a movie.
Well, if they do get 5 seasons, they tend to be a bit lackluster. You know, the 4 season arcs were usually the best, as well as the season 4 villains.
Exactly.
You know?
It just gets
gratuitous. I don't think anything can really land an ending that might have been building up for a whole 5 seasons.
Nah,
so as a result, I completely maintain there have been 4 seasons and now you're just in your endgame and it's fine.
Fair enough.
And then after the endgame, there might be the first epilogue. Then the second epilogue.
you say that like it's bad. The fans are going to be so happy to hear there's more coming, Alex. The only person that's bad for is you.
Yeah,
that's a fair point. Right, look, I've already given you everything you want. Go figure out how you're going to deal with dragon wings, and we'll join you all next week with some different content.
Excellent.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Welcome back. You find yourself I'm going to try using human words. I don't guarantee I'll succeed, but I'm definitely going to try.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.